From WNYC in New York, this is NPR's On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. And this is President Bush.
Anybody who is who's in a position to serve this country ought to understand the consequences of words.
My, oh my. We didn't weigh in when the president changed the rhetorical direction of his war policy by declaring that he'd, quote, never been stay the course. We didn't comment when Vice President Cheney appeared to liken waterboarding to a dunk in the water. Mostly we cover the media, and mostly the media chewed on those howlers for a time and then gulped them down in due course. But the media can't stop masticating on this latest liberal gaffe like a Washington Monument-sized snossage.
It was a botched joke about the president.
Senator John Kerry meant to say that if you didn't study, if you were intellectually lazy, you could get us stuck in Iraq. But he screwed it up and left out the word us. White House Press Secretary Tony Snow just couldn't figure that out.
Where does us fit in? You don't us get stuck? I don't understand. I mean, it doesn't scan here.
Not us get, Tony. Get us. It's not that hard. But leaving out the us, said Snow, said the president, said Limbaugh, made it sound like Kerry was insulting the troops, not the president. And that's not funny. Now, it's true, Kerry is famously humorless. He should never tell a joke. Vice President Cheney, on the other hand, he's a funny guy.
Of course, Senator Kerry said he was just making a joke and he botched it up. I guess we didn't get that nuance. Actually, he was for the joke before he was against it.
But if Cheney was enjoying himself, so were the media. According to TVEyes.com, Kerry's name was mentioned on cable news 715 times in just 36 hours. It's a genuine campaign freak show, a phenomenon explored and deplored in the book called The Way to Win, Taking the White House in 2008 by ABC's Mark Halperin and John Harris, national politics editor of The Washington Post. Harris said that he resisted the story at first.
My first instinct about this was to be somewhat restrained in our coverage. I actually argued it off the front page. I felt that it was kind of a distraction. I don't think the question of what Kerry said is central in the minds of most voters. I thought it was being promoted for partisan purposes. So we put the story on the inside pages with a complete and responsible story, but not a highly played one. The first day. The second day, President Bush was talking about it, Vice President Cheney was talking about it, everyone was talking about it. I really was in no position to resist that. The story ended up leading the paper.
So Thursday, you ran it as your lead story of the day under the headline, Kerry Offers Apology to Troops. Is there anything substantive going on here? I mean, is this just pure noise?
It's heavily noise, but it's not my job as an editor to delete the noise or pretend that it doesn't exist. Probably George W. Bush's drunk driving incident from 1977 wasn't the most important issue facing the country in the closing days of the 2000 campaign. Nonetheless, that was also something that entered the media echo chamber. I think individual journalists like me are always in a quandary in that we don't run the echo chamber collectively. We only run our part of it.
But you do suggest that this is a bit of a feeding frenzy by the media that often occurs in the final throes of campaigns. Do you think that this story would have been played as big a few weeks ago?
I think that probably would have had a 72-hour trip through the spin cycle. It's just that these 72 hours are probably more critical than the 72 hours of a few weeks ago. The cable news networks were obviously delighted. Here's some content to keep a running story alive. It is being treated like it's the biggest thing facing the country right now. Emphatically, it is not.
But what it is, I think you would agree, is, according to your own definition, a classic campaign freak show.
The freak show is a term that we use to describe extreme rhetoric, flamboyant attacks, a brand of debate which is not really even aimed at illuminating an issue, much less resolving it, but branding your opponent as fundamentally unacceptable and unworthy and beyond consideration.
Isn't the point of every freak show to depict the candidate as a phony?
That's one of the most consistent themes. John Kerry was a victim of the freak show. Al Gore was a victim of the freak show in that they allowed the opposition, in concert with media allies, to tell the story on the opposition's terms. And in the process of that, they completely lost control of their public story and their public image.
But why is this freak show happening now around John Kerry? He's not even running.
Brooke, the word I think is central is incentives. The people at the White House and in the Republican Party claiming to be offended by this and saddened by this. Of course, they weren't offended and saddened. They were delighted. They thought they had a great opportunity to make the election about John Kerry.
He's an easy target, like shooting fish in a barrel.
And the way to win, the metaphor we use, is actually a little bit more raw than that. He's like clubbing a harp seal on the ice. And that is what they did to him in 2004. And that is what they would like to do and have done to him in 2006.
But by covering every back and forth bicker over this misplaced pronoun in Kerry's joke, aren't you playing right into the administration's hands? And don't you think there is a role that discretion can play in how the story is placed and where it's placed?
Yes, I think both those things. We can cover a story, we hope, with skepticism by trying to illuminate what the motives of various political actors are. I don't want there to be any ambiguity. This is not the world as it should be. Unfortunately, it is the world as it is. The freak show, we try to describe clinically in the book, but we're not neutral about it. We're powerfully opposed to it. It is a corruption of our democracy.
But you're the national political editor of the Washington Post, and I don't mean to keep hammering on you, John, but if you are that opposed to it, if you find the freak show so reprehensible, you could take the Kerry story apologizing to troops and just tuck it inside.
Brooke, I tried that for one day, and indeed, that is what we did. I cannot, by proclamation, create my own reality and say that this was not, in fact, a dominant reality of the closing days of the campaign. And my first responsibility to readers is to describe that reality. Now, I don't think, if you look at the Post stories, that we covered them in a freak show way. I believe we maintained detachment. But nonetheless, you are right. We were responding, in a way, to the freak show. I hope that we were not letting the freak show drive our own values, but unquestionably, the freak show succeeds in driving coverage.
John, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Wonderful to talk with you. Thanks.
John Harris is national politics editor for The Washington Post. He's also the author, with Mark Halperin, of The Way to Win, Taking the White House in 2008.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink. Drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.